The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury and I'm delighted to have you join us this evening for another edition of The Parents Show. Now, tonight we've got a very, very interesting and lovely guest joining us from Bailey Language Academy, and it's Rachel Bailey herself who'll be talking to us about learning languages and why we all know it, why it's so important. Thanks for joining us this evening, Rachel.
You're very welcome. It's lovely to be here.
Now, tell us a little bit about Bailey Language Academy.
Sure. So I have been teaching for quite a few number of years, really, before the pandemic. So I used to teach sort of groups and private tuition. And then once the pandemic started, I kind of went online and expanded. And I teach now in over 13 countries. So I teach Spanish, French and English. So I teach from kind of Key Stage 3 to GCSE and A-level and IB, and also adult groups and sort of professional English. I've really been enjoying it and really kind of meant that, you know, I get to experience different cultures myself and see how French is taught around the world and Spanish. So I teach locally too. So I have a lot of students in kind of St. Albans and Hertfordshire area. So yeah, really, really enjoying the journey so far.
Brilliant. And it's so lovely to hear. We like to kind of glean some positives out of the awful pandemic, but it sounds like your business has thrived as a result of events and classes moving online.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a really difficult time. When I first sort of advertised, it was right at the start of the lockdown, really, online. And people were, you know, it was difficult, wasn't it? You know, the schools were shut and people wanted extra help. And I think languages is one of those subjects where it's particularly difficult, isn't it? You know, if your parent doesn't speak it or you're wanting to help with grammar and vocab. So I was really lucky, actually. I got featured in a Dubai Top 5 Educators piece that went a bit viral, actually. So I had loads of students from there and then sort of in different countries, and then people recommended me in India. So I find it fascinating. My diary was a mess with all the time differences. And then I realized when the clocks changed, that was another difficulty. So it didn't change in different countries and payment. And then Dubai, you know, the weekend wasn't on a Friday. So I've learned so much from the journey. And also Brilliant. Just cultural references. You know, in the UK, you might teach more about Christmas in France, but, you know, some countries don't celebrate Christmas. There's just different points of the year, which I've learned lots as well, which is great. And some students will say to me, oh, that's the same word in Hindi, or that's the same word in Arabic. And there's different cultural references, which I learn from. So yeah, I think it's only going to keep growing. Like, I feel like a lot of adults now as well really, really want to learn for enjoyment and to pick up on a new challenge. So I've definitely seen a pickup, especially with adults wanting to do French. A lot of people message me saying, I did French at GCSE, but I want to start again. So yeah, it's been great.
Isn't it such a lovely experience to kind of come into contact with so many different cultures and traditions right from your home in St. Albans? Like, it's brilliant.
Yeah, definitely.
So you must be on Zoom quite a bit.
Yeah, always. Well, I do more in person now. So if people are local, then I do travel and I've done some classes. I did a lot more in person before the pandemic, but I think online works really well, especially with my teenage and GCSE students. I can share a lot of audiovisual materials. I like doing podcasts or audio clips or fun videos. And I think actually that works better. I've definitely found my teaching style is adapted to that. And, you know, with a group call, you can do games in the video chat and you're kind of putting quickly name five animals in or something like that. So I think it actually has more benefits now, and just the flexibility. You can do it from anywhere, can't you? Or someone goes away for a week. So I do need breaks though. I think it is quite intense, isn't it, online, people find.
Absolutely, absolutely. Building in breaks.
Building in some breaks between.
Yeah.
And for the students themselves, sometimes you just need to
get up and walk around a little bit. Mm. So you mentioned French and Spanish. So you speak three languages.
Yes, I'm trilingual. So I spoke French from a really young age. So my dad spoke French and German, and he used to work for different companies and did a lot of international travel. So we'd always spoken French from a young age. And I did have lessons as well with a native French teacher when we were younger, and you'd go to these groups with my siblings just to keep it up, because it's really hard, isn't it, for your parent to teach you. So I absolutely loved that, and I continued. And then it was my year at school where they offered Spanish. It was for the first year, so I would have taken German otherwise. And I loved it, and I had the best teacher, and I also got some extra help. So I kind of, it's funny now being a tutor, because at the time, you know, I was like, I really want to learn more. And she was fantastic, and just the culture and everything. And I do loads of extra work outside of class. It was like my favourite subject. And then I carried on. I did it for A levels, and then I chose it. So I did it at Durham University. So I did Spanish and French. And then I lived abroad. So I did my year abroad, which I loved. So I lived in Toulouse and Salamanca, and I kind of taught as well. That was the best thing that ever happened for my languages, because in Toulouse, all of my friends were French, all of my neighbours, they didn't speak any English. It was like straight away. I mean, I learnt every rude word under the sun in about 2 days. I remember going to this McDo, like the poshest McDonald's you've ever seen in your life in France. And yeah, I had an education. So I'd always like spoken at home and different things like that. But this was like properly in the culture. So absolutely loved it. And then you come back in your final year and all your friends, I had friends that did Arabic, and you're just so much more fluent. It was incredible, you know, just having that experience. And then, yeah, I kind of used it in business after I graduated. My first job, I didn't use it as much. And then I worked for different airlines. So I had one of the roles I took was kind of working with like banks in Argentina and Uruguay, trying to integrate them into the system. And that was amazing, really hard work. Like all of the accents was kind of different. And I was on YouTube looking at Uruguayan accents, but I found it amazing, like fascinating, did travel to Spain and France. So I would say, like, for me, being able to use it in work is such a bonus. And maybe students, when they're doing the GCSEs or A-levels, don't quite realise that yet, but you can use it in so many contexts. Like people at Durham would do maths and Spanish or business and French. So it's such, and then you get to do that year abroad as part of your course. You can do it with anything, engineering, you can, it's so useful in so many areas, but people kind of think maybe it's just reading from a textbook, but it's definitely more than that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a gateway to another world, I think. And I love that languages are not just a thing in of themselves anymore. Like you say, they're combined with other skills. And I think the more we do that, the better. Because I had a similar experience. I did German for my degree and likewise spent a year abroad. But instead of being sent to a metropolis like Toulouse or Salamanca, I was sent to a tiny village with 400 people in the middle of Austria. And so I had absolutely no choice but to speak German.
To speak German, which is the best.
Absolutely. I was thrown in at the deep end, and I literally, in 1 year, I went from being stumbling and stuttering to the thing everybody hopes for, dreaming in German, you know, and it was just such a fantastic, mind-blowing experience. I'd recommend everybody who's learning the language to do that, to go and immerse yourself in the language, right?
Yeah, even adults, like you said, adult learners, as much as they can. I know it can be expensive, but I was going to say, actually, at Durham, the best thing I did there was I had a tandem partner. They actually still have the app, I think, but it was basically just like an exchange just for a coffee. So I met a lady from like northern Spain, and she didn't speak in English at the time, but we kind of would just have coffee and we just became really good friends. But we would speak all the time in Spanish, and she would help me and I would help her with things. But that was the best thing to do. And I know it doesn't even mean you have to travel abroad. Like there's some Spanish groups in St. Albans. They meet at local pubs and things. I would just say, I don't know, go on Facebook groups. There's a Spanish and French in St. Albans group, aren't they? So even for students, it's kind of like you can do it even in the country you're in, actually.
Oh, that's a great tip. So you don't actually need to go and live in a tiny little village in the middle of the Austrian Alps.
Oh, you can. That would be.
But it was so funny because when I came back from my year in Austria, I was like a bit of a freak show because my German was so provincial. And so that I had picked up such a dialect from one specific part of Austria that it was different teachers and professors used to come and go, go on, speak so we can hear this accent, you know, because it was such a novelty to hear this Irish girl speaking with a completely Austrian dialect. Now, I'm asking you this, and in my heart, I know the answer, but tell us why it's important to learn languages, in your opinion, Rachel.
I mean, it's funny, as I guess, as a native English teacher and tutor as well, to say this, because I know English has become such a world language and a business language, and people do think, well, why bother? But I guess it has so many benefits beyond just, we talked there, didn't we? Obviously, the big one, career advancement and opening different opportunities up, but just experiencing different cultures, travel, meeting new people, having new experiences. I think it's absolutely crucial to do that. I mean, we waited for ages for this trip, actually. We booked it and moved it 3 times. I went on my honeymoon earlier this year to Brazil and Argentina, and I'd wanted to go for so long. But I was quite shocked. So we went to parts of Brazil where not many people spoke English at all. Like there were places where the menu, saying hello, and it actually brought me back down to earth and thought, yeah, well, why does everyone expect us to speak English fluently? And it put me back into this kind of real beginner again. And I did recently a beginner's course in Portuguese, which I loved. But I was right back at the start because it's kind of similar to Spanish, but the Brazilian Portuguese is very different. So I thought to myself, wow, I'm actually in a country where I am struggling here. So just to enjoy a trip, really, isn't it? I've been to Croatia before and I was kind of looking up on Duolingo and I thought, wow, I didn't appreciate how challenging this is. But
yeah,
it's kind of, and you know, like we talked about before about, you know, for your brain, you know, as you're getting older, you know, they show that, you know, rates of dementia become a lot less, that you're using so many parts of your brain. So there's so many benefits, but it is one of the hardest skills to keep up. So I understand why people, you know, the effort level is challenging, but little by little, I always say tiny little bits each day and as much enjoyment as you can. If you enjoy it, the more you'll want to look up and do so.
Great advice there, Rachel. Thanks a million. And are there trends in languages? Do languages get popular, less popular? Is it affected by global issues, global opportunities? What are you seeing?
So there's a few interesting things I was going to take. So I looked up, so about 40% of the world's population speaks more than one language daily, which I find quite fascinating. So every single day, people are speaking more than one language. And there's a new Duolingo trend report. So I know Duolingo is really popular. Loads of my students use Duolingo and I'm a massive fan. So recently this year, Russian has dropped out of the top 10 for the first time, given, like you said, global issues, you know, what's happening with the war in Ukraine. So that could have had an effect. And actually, Portuguese is now number 8 and Hindi is number 10. So Portuguese is interesting. And it says because since the pandemic, so Brazil's seen a 500% increase in international tourists. And this was really interesting. I've heard this a lot and I would love to live there actually in Lisbon. So Portugal has become a bit of a hub for like digital nomads. So people going to work there, remote working. I don't know if it's easier to get a visa, but now Portuguese. So that's a massive trend, isn't it? Because you think actually, is it that widely spoken? But people are now wanting to learn for maybe business reasons and travel. So yeah, it is really interesting. So I've got the top 10 here. It's English, Spanish, French, German, Japanese is number 5. Which
is
really
that's
cool.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Italian 6, Korean is number 7. So some of my students learn Korean. Portuguese is 8, Chinese is 9, and Hindi is 10.
I've got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that the popularity of Korean has anything to do with K-pop?
I'm not an expert. I would say yes, because why would it not be? Definitely.
Yeah.
This is what you're saying about culture and yeah, I mean, and Japanese.
Exactly. That's
really
Japanese
is number 5. Like I'm guessing there's less Japanese speakers than Chinese speakers overall. But like you said, it's the popularity, isn't it? The culture. So many of my students want to learn Japanese. I've heard it's like, you know, and before I remember Welsh was really popular during the pandemic, like the number of people trying to learn Welsh. So I think it is definitely, it's a big influence. I mean, some of those key ones, those top ones, they aren't going to change. And there's going to be more and more French speakers now, especially in that continent of Africa. So they'll always be there. And I know they're really key languages in GCSE, but some of these other languages, but like Portuguese for me, I thought, wow, it's absolutely. Yeah. And so Brazil's massive as well. So
it is. It is. That's very interesting. I'm so surprised by Japanese and Korean. I really am. But I wonder if part of that has to do with as well with just some great television shows coming out of it, coming out of both countries. Like my daughter, who's 12, almost 13, absolutely loves Korean programs and as a result has taken up Korean on Duolingo. Yeah.
Oh, really? That's so cool.
So difficult. I mean, I see the script as she's trying to pronounce the words and, you know, it's a real brain buster, isn't it, to pick up a language that's so different to English.
And it's hard then to take it off Duolingo a lot of times, isn't it? Because I think it's such a good base to start with, like you said, to get that interest, but then to do that, it's quite an investment, but it's so worth it. Oh, should I be able to get a trip out there at some point?
Well, that's her motivation. She's told us if she gets fluent in Korean, she wants to go to Korea. But step at a time. But actually, that brings me on to my next question nicely about how important do you think it is for parents to model learning a language to their children? Do you think it plays a role? What do you see in your day-to-day work?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even in your native language, right? To model language even from, you know, when children are learning from really young, it's repetition, isn't it? you repeat what you hear. So the more you repeat accents. So I think, you know, even at, like if you said, if you went abroad and your parents spoke some French and then they were confident enough to order abroad and things like that, it gives you that confidence, doesn't it? You can see your parent using it, I'm sure, with your German. If you can see your children can see you using German, enjoying speaking German. So modeling language is key. I have had a lot of students, and I do have students with parents who are bilingual, and there is a challenge around that. And I completely understand that. My, you know, my dad at the time was very busy with work, didn't have time. I'm one of four. So, you know, reading to us was not impossible, but really difficult. And obviously, you finish work and you're busy at the weekend. And I have that with parents and I understand that. But I would say as much as possible, even if you're worried like your children don't understand, just speak French, like or Spanish, whatever you speak at home, try as much as possible. And I know that sometimes children are reluctant to speak back to you, but it's still going in, isn't it? You're still hearing it. They're understanding it. I know so many bilingual parents who say that, but they don't talk back, but maybe they will. Maybe they'll turn, you know, maybe they'll be 16, 18 and they'll do a trip and they want to pick it back up again. So the biggest thing for me would be don't stress. So I had some parents who, like, language acquisition, actually, it's more about goes in first. And the speaking is the hardest one to come out. So if you're understanding, you're listening, you're watching shows, the speaking then comes afterwards. So I would say don't get too worried about, yeah, the modelling. Listening is the biggest thing, I would say, to start with, and as much as you can pick up on that. So
brilliant. Thanks, Rachel. And I'm sure your father speaking French and German had an impact on it. I'm sure it broke through for you to see your father speaking two other languages, not just one.
Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. He spoke French really, really well. And yeah, it was great to see. He was very confident with work. You could hear it on calls and wow. He'd do his trips. So I think it definitely helped. Yeah.
Brilliant. So talk to us about age. So you mentioned that you have adults coming back to you saying, oh, I did French at GCSE. I want to brush it up again. Do you see an age restriction on learning a language? What do you think about it?
Absolutely not. I don't think there's any age restriction. I think it can make you feel young, I guess, in any way. I mean, I remember I was doing a big adult group class before the pandemic, and I had a complete range of ages, young students to adults. And I thought, how do you make this work? But everyone just wanted to have fun. People were there because their daughter had lived abroad. Someone was there because they just wanted to have fun with their husband. Somebody, you know, really enjoyed literature, so it was more studious, but it just worked. And actually, two friends, they became really close friends from the class, and they were slightly older ladies, and they absolutely loved it. And just everything, the culture. And I think actually, yeah, beyond that kind of the brain science around it helping you, I think it's always good to keep learning, isn't it? The whole of our lives.
Absolutely.
And if you think I'm going to stop, and that's, I do get people messaging me, I can't remember anything from GCSE. You'll be so surprised how much people remember. And yeah. Then they realize they really liked it. Or if people had a negative experience at school, if they then do it as an adult and you're like, okay. And a lot of people come to me and say, I don't want to write, I just want to speak. Yeah. Okay, that's great, because then we don't need to be worried about all of our, you know, I'm not really picky, but adjective agreements and, you know, adding that extra S and the accent. You know, you don't have to think about that as an adult learner. No. And you can just kind of, I tailor the lessons. So if someone, I've had sports journalists who've wanted French lessons with me. So we've just tailored it really. I mean, I've learned loads. I like sport, but I don't know that much about it, you know, but I find the lessons really fascinating as well. Or we'll do debates. So this morning, I've been doing a debate on the new Barbie movie. And we were talking about stereotypes and gender. And I think the film's just aired in Russia, so there was controversy around that. So just interesting, you know. So and it surprises me what adults actually enjoy learning as well. Like, it's not what you think all the time. They want to know about the latest podcast or any age. I've taught someone late 80s. So
Brilliant.
I think it's fascinating. Yeah.
Fantastic. So anybody listening here, you've no excuse. There's nothing holding you back from learning language. Start today. And you've given us a couple of really valuable tips already, Rachel. But any more tips on learning a language? What would you say to our listeners?
Ooh. I mean, I have a few that have worked for me, but everyone has to find your own style. So probably the biggest one is what works for you. I can't tell you to do a certain thing if it doesn't work. But the biggest one I did was sticky notes. So when I lived in France, I don't know if you ever did this in a year abroad, a girl down my corridor, she was learning English. So she would like cover her flat with sticky notes of the words just in the flat to start with. And when she knew them, she'd then put new ones up. And I started doing it. So I'd put like complicated vocab or something on a sticky note, like five bits of vocab, and put it on the mirror in the bathroom. Because you brush your teeth, right? So you're just standing there and it's kind of, I'd call it dead time or kind of time where you're not doing much. And it's so effective. And I do it with my GCSE students. I say mirror, fridge door. One student, it was quite funny, he's like, no, I don't go anywhere in my house, I just play my Xbox. And I was like, right, there's got to be two places you go. So it was the snack drawer and his Xbox remote control with the sticky note with five Spanish words. And he says it was quite effective, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's extreme. It was like, don't go anywhere else in the house. I was like, okay, we'll do that. And then I think...
Where there's a will, there's a way. There's right, a way.
Just engage as much as you can with... So I think back to... Because I did all of the study, like you, at uni. So obviously, lots of grammar. I did lots of French literature. But I loved... The biggest thing I loved was all the Spanish films. So we did a lot of, like, cultural modules on, I don't know, issues in Venezuela. And that's what I really enjoyed. So my language grew from there. And I think at uni, I actually preferred Spanish because I think it was just more engaging. And I loved speaking. So we'd do more debates. And that's what worked for me. It's like you said with your daughter, if you really enjoy something, if you like cooking, maybe a cooking show, there's like cooking shows in South America or novels. Like one of the ladies from my class loved reading. That's not as much for me. That's not as big a thing for me. But something you enjoy, like even if you enjoy sport, I mean, I've had a lot of students who are 16 and, you know, they're not into certain things, but they love sport. And even recently, a student said to me, Il Bibo or something. He was like, oh, I know that. Isn't that like a Spanish something to the Football League? And I was like, well done. You know that verb.
Yeah.
Because, there's so many Spanish footballers and great teams in Spain. So try and find something you enjoy. Engage with the culture. I mean, if you can afford it, try and book a trip. I mean, one of my students asked me this week, he said, oh, there's a French exchange coming up in my school. Do you think I should go? Like, I'm not sure about it. I was like, oh my God, of course. Like if you have the opportunity. And he was asking me about how mine went. And I can remember, I don't know about you, I can remember all of it.
Yeah.
And it's so vivid. And it was, you know, a long time ago, but I have all of these memories of staying at the house. And then he said the student would come and stay at their house. I would say any of these opportunities just bring the language alive, don't they? So, but maybe one of the big ones I'd say is set a realistic goal. So when I did an adult class before, I saw one student had like literally streams of vocab to learn in a book. And I would say set yourself the task of 3 or 4 words maximum because your brain, you want to remember them, right? Rather than just have a list in your head. So that would be my tip. Set a realistic goal.
Really valuable. And I was trying to get my kids the other day, they both love Modern Family. Don't ask me why.
Oh, yes.
But I was saying to them, put it on in Spanish. You know, you've watched all of them so many times. You probably know the scripts off by heart.
Yeah, definitely. And Disney's a really good one. Like things like that, because the voice, they're brilliant as well. And lots of like my student, like Lupin, it was really popular. The Netflix, the French series, or what was the Spanish one I'm thinking of? Money Heist. I don't know if you know that one.
I don't know.
It was Casa de Papel. It was really fake. But you could, like, even if you watched it in English and then put the Spanish subtitles, you know, if you don't, like, there's different ways of doing it, aren't there? But
brilliant. Great, Rachel. Thanks a million. We're coming to the end of our interview now. So you've given us some great, great tips about immersing yourself in the language. Any other ones to add and any other words of wisdom?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say like there's loads of things you can do. You can change the settings on your phone. I had a friend at uni who had an Arabic laptop, you know, like she'd got the keyboard in Arabic. I mean, there's so many things you can do. Just so every word you're looking at in your laptop is in the setting. You can change your Google if you really wanted to. But I love podcasts. I think I say always listen, like if you're doing a makeup in the morning or getting ready or just cooking something, just put it on in the background. You don't even have to listen to it. That was the biggest tip I ever heard. Just immerse yourself in it. Then it's like you're living in the country, isn't it? So if you had the German radio on in the background, you're picking up the frequency, you're picking up the sounds, the intonation. So that would be something I would recommend.
Great tips. Absolutely fantastic. And what would you say to somebody who's saying, you know what, I'm a little bit self-conscious. I'm not a very extroverted person. Learning a language means putting myself out there and making mistakes. How do you feel about mistakes?
I mean, I used to feel like a perfectionist and I've definitely changed my approach, but I can see it with certain students who just want the whole sentence perfect and they won't say a thing. I would just say the only way to learn is just to have a go. And actually, you know, if you think about somebody who speaks your language or English and they make certain mistakes, if you understand what they're saying overall, you're really welcoming, aren't you? Or you're understanding and it's the same when you speak. I think you think you're going to be so judged and actually people love it when you try, don't they? It's more important to try. It doesn't matter if you get the agreement wrong, you say the wrong masculine, who cares? Like as long as you're understood overall, I think that's the only way to learn. But it's probably the hardest thing. It's the thing I hear all the time. Like I'm not even going to try because it's so difficult. But maybe start small. Like I probably would say don't go and do an interview in the language. Like that would be stress you out. But maybe if you visit a country and you're going to the market, you think, right, I'm going to try and order like my coffee and a pastry in this language and then I'm going to build from there. That would be a good tip, wouldn't it? Even if you just... Or if you're going to have a conversation with someone, just say, can we do a tiny bit in this language? And then we'll go back to...
Lovely, Rachel. Really, really great tips. And I'm sure that'll really inspire our listeners to just have a go. Isn't it? That's the key. Just give it a go.
Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. And what about at Bailey Language Academy? How do you approach learning? What's your mantra or your methodology?
So I guess I have various, but I like to think that we here like inspire confidence. So that's a big part of the language learning journey. Like you said, I've taught from complete beginners to intermediate to advanced level, but it is the level of confidence that we work on massively. And we make mistakes, we do lots of speaking. And I really like using current materials with whatever level. So it can be beginners as well, but just clips and fun things and games. I do a lot of audiovisual games and apps, and just find out what the student likes as well. So personalize the lessons, and you go back and adapt, right? Anyone does this with their work. So if you think, oh, that particular class, I've done one I always do on Spanish clothes, and I always say this. So I get people to go on the Zara website or something, you know, and I say, this is your budget. You have to put an outfit, and you can buy it if you want. I'm not saying that. I said, don't use someone else's credit card, but go on and look. You know, we've learned all the vocab, put an outfit together for a party or a wedding or something. This is your budget. How close can you get to the budget? So it's quite fun. And then you have to explain and present your Zara outfit to me. And if it's the sales, and we look at all of that vocab and it brings it alive. It's just much more fun. We've done the same with the Spanish. You have to come up with a bocadillo. You have to come up with a sandwich filling, and you go on the Spanish website and you try and book it. And so things like that, where it's more current and more fun. That's kind of, I guess, young, energetic. I like to bring it alive because I think back, and that's what I wanted from lessons. So hopefully that's the approach that I bring.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Talk about using the resources around you cleverly. I mean, that's just absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, Rachel. And if any of our listeners are inspired to get and learn a language, either with Bailey Language Academy or there's loads of other language academies out there, how do they follow you? How do they find you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm available on Instagram, but my website as well, it's Bailey Language Academy. So you can message me, you can take a look at the resources, and yeah, available. I have group lessons and individual classes. So if you have a student wanting to do GCSE, but I also give, you know, there's plenty of tips and free materials or apps and things like that that I can recommend too. So it's a combination, isn't it? But yeah, hopefully look forward to hearing from some of you, and yeah, hope you have a lovely day.
Thanks a million, Rachel. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Fadia Raminger, who is a local mom and has so many strings to her bow. I'm not even going to begin to tell you them all. She'll tell you herself during the course of the interview. But today in particular, we're going to talk to Fadia about raising her children trilingually. So, Fadia, thanks a million for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show with you, Lydia.
So, Fadia, just tell us a little bit, how long are you here in St. Albans?
So, I am here. I moved here from Switzerland, actually, around 15 years ago. I think in August in August was 15 years ago. And since then, I have been here. It's the longest place I have ever, ever lived in my life is St. Albans. I never lived 15 years at once somewhere in any country, to be honest, not even in my home country.
And tell us about, because you have an amazing mix of a name. Fadia sounds like an Arabic name, and then Raminger is a German name. So tell us, how did all this happen?
Yeah, so originally I am Lebanese. My mom is from Palestine. We moved in the war because of the war we had in Lebanon, because of the two different parties, my mom and my dad. So we had lots of troubles. We had to move. We moved to Germany as Lyon. So I grew up in Germany, actually, and went to school in Germany. And this is where I met my husband. So my husband is German. We got married. And of course, we started after a while moving ourselves as well because of our jobs, because of my husband's job. So we were moving between Switzerland, Germany, and UK. Yeah, and since then, we've been quite, you know, a traveler. We moved the first... let's say the first 20 years of our life, you know, of our marriage, we moved around 22 times.
Wow.
So we never really lived that long at one place. The longest we lived at one place was 4 years. The shortest was like 4 months.
That's a lot. That's quite unsettling.
It is, but it was nice. It's really nice because, you know, we didn't have kids. We were free. It was really quite nice to move around. Yes, so my Bosques were born as well in Switzerland, not here, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
And tell us about your kids.
So I have two boys. The first one is 21, the second one is 15. When I got pregnant with my first boy, we were living here in UK, actually, in Harley, very, very close to Gatwick. And then when the incident in America happened with, with the airplanes into the building, my husband was taken back to Switzerland to the head office for the company he was working for. So I was 6 months pregnant when I moved to Switzerland and gave birth in Switzerland for my older boy. So this is where he was born. And after he was born, he was still a baby. So we moved back to UK to Maidenhead. So my son had to grow with all three languages. And so my husband's German, talking to him in German, me Arabic, talking to him in Arabic. And then we had the baby groups and everyone we have met in Maidenhead. It was really a lovely time. Everything else was in English. And then I had many, many international friends as well. They were from different countries. So he was always, Yeah. So this is my first boy.
I think for any parent who's listening, whose kid is struggling with GCSE Spanish or beginner's French, the idea that there are three languages going on all the time in your house is a bit mind-blowing, I have to say. How do you do it? Talk me through a day. How do you divvy up the languages and who speaks what?
The funniest thing is when we are all together in the evening at the table having dinner, especially when my kids were toddlers or babies. So it was completely different story because we were sitting at a table. So when I talked to my husband, I was talking in German. I was talking to the kids. I was talking in Arabic. The kids giving back, you know what I mean? So we didn't have any English involved until they started like playgroups and schools. So it was really fun. My husband did learn some Arabic because of this, because I was always talking in Arabic to my kids. He travels quite a lot. So for him, it was a really big, big challenge because when we came back from his travel, we were talking to the kids. He wasn't sure if they will understand him or not because he was talking in German. So my husband was more confused than the kids, to be honest with you. Yeah.
That's
so my husband sometimes was really funny listening to him, talking to them sometimes because sometimes he used all three languages because he wasn't sure what the kids are understanding and what they don't understand.
So does your husband speaks Arabic too?
No, he doesn't. He understands quite a lot. He does say around 40, 50 words in Arabic, the basic words. It's like, when they were young, my kids, and I was like singing for them in nursery rhymes in Arabic. Yeah, my husband did learn some of them because listening to them every day with me singing to them, or when I tell them, like come, or, now eat in Arabic, So he started understanding that this very, very basic language. And sometimes he really used it as well because he thought, okay, if I tell them this now in German, they won't understand. Sometimes he would say to the kids, he would call them by name and then say, come. In English, then he will say, let's do this in German, then he say, car in Arabic, So having like one sentence with three different languages, because he thinks this word, they might understand it in English better, the other words they might say in German, but it doesn't work like that, So I had really to teach him not to do it. Like, this is really a big mistake to do that, to mix languages.
And why is it a big mistake to do it? I'd love to know.
Because kids should really learn which language, which person is spoken. So if you, let's say you are French and then you speak to your kids in French. So since they're a baby, you spoke in French to your kids. When they see you, their brain will start thinking in French and then try to talk in French to you as well. So they will see a difference in your person to another person who's talking in English to them. And this is really, really important with the kids. I mean, my kids were fluent in Arabic until they were like 5 or 6 years old. And I was the only person speaking to them in Arabic. In German, they were okayish, like middle, because the only thing they knew in German is what their dad spoke to. And he was on travel. And when he came, he quite often mixed the languages. So they knew they can answer back in a different language to him. But to me, they always answered back in Arabic because I was really very strict to Arabic when they were young. And I think you need to be really, really strict with that. As soon as you stop being, you know, strict about it, they will lose themselves and then they will start talking to you in a different language. This is why it's really important to keep to your language no matter what.
That's great to know because, you know, it, I mean, you'd wonder what is the most successful way to embed the language. Right. So keeping strict lines, one parent speaks one language, another parent speaks the other.
It's really important, yeah.
To embed it. And so you said your children spoke Arabic fluently up until the age of 5, did you?
5 to 6 years old, yes.
And so yeah. What's happening? What's happening in terms of now? They're older, they're at secondary school.
They started school. Of course, when they start school, their behavior changes and language changes as well with them. But I think we made a mistake because we had so much influence from the outside world. The thing is, when they were toddler, when they were babies, even when I was in a playgroup or in a different environment and everyone European was around me, I still was talking to them in Arabic. Because people, you know, if you talk to your toddler or to your kid, say, no, you are not talking about them. You know, you are talking to your kid, you are telling them to eat, you are telling them whatever it is, you're not telling them things in your language. But as soon as they become older and then you still speak in your own language in front of others and they do not understand, it's not seen as respectful, you know what I mean? People will look to you in a strange way. So at the beginning, I start to say, oh, I'm really sorry that I'm talking to them in Arabic. I know you do not understand, but I'm just giving them, like, you know, commands, whatever I wanted them to do, you know, in Arabic, just because they used to that, you know what I mean? And at some point, did feel like strange talking to them in Arabic in front of others because they became older. They were at school, so you go to school doors, and for them, Ma, please don't speak to me like this. Can you speak differently to me because of my friends? You know, they become more shy talking the language in front of their friends because they don't want their friends to think they're talking badly about them. And this is when we started including, like, you know, me talking to them sometimes in English or in German, depends, you know, who was around us. And this is when they started getting used, okay, mom speaks English, so I can answer back in English. And this is when they start, because I am the only one who speaks to them the language. So for them, it became easier to answer back. Now I speak to them in Arabic and they answer back in English. But when I was with them on holiday, like, you know, a few years back in an Arabic country, and it took them a few days, and then they got into the language again, and then they started understanding and answering back. The problem is they do understand now everything when I talk to them in Arabic. But if, like, you know, let's say American guy or woman or whatever comes and talks to them in Arabic, they won't understand them, or someone from Egypt, because their dialect is so different to me. Obviously, because, you know, the Lebanese Arabic is completely different than the Egyptian or Moroccan or Algerian, so whatever country it is. Yeah, so they don't understand them. They need translation.
And how do you reinforce, say, the written or other forms of the language? So have the children learned German at school or Arabic at school? Do they manage to do GCSEs or any kind of formal exams?
I mean, But my older son, when he was younger, we moved back to Switzerland in between. And then he moved back in Switzerland in between. And I wanted him to keep his English. So the way I kept his English is in reading him, like, English stories, showing him a little bit of English programs because I didn't want to speak to him in English. And the other way around, exactly the same, when we came back, so we had, like, German TV in between on. We had in between on, like, Arabic TV. We didn't have much TV because my kids weren't really much. I mean, they had like 20 minutes of TV a day. And I made sure that they had certain languages on these 20 minutes or half an hour when they were younger. Now, obviously more because they are older. But yeah, so I made sure that they've been always, you know, in front of different languages because I really wanted them to be, you know, to listen to other language, not only from me. Yeah, so I didn't speak to them in German. I didn't speak to them in English. I carried on in Arabic and had another solutions to get them to listen to other languages.
So you really have given this a huge amount of thought and consideration to make sure that they are really trilingual.
I did when they were younger. Yes, I did. But as I said, you know, I made the mistake when I started school. So please don't do this mistake. Talking to them in English in front of others or in German, depends who is with us. And please don't do this mistake, because they will start to talk to you in English and then they won't respond in your language anymore, unfortunately.
And is that better than nothing? So at least if they are speaking, or at least if they're understanding, is it better than nothing, or it's really just...
No, of course it's better than nothing. I have a friend, she is half German, half from Jordan, and her husband is Jordan, and her kids grew up in Germany. And she did exactly the same as I did, but at some point, her kids refused to speak Arabic. They want to speak only German because they were like ashamed because of their friends as well. And they spoke then at once only German. They never answered back in Arabic. They completely blocked Arabic out. And then when they became teenagers and they started uni, and then they realized it's really good skill to have. So they started and taught themselves Arabic. They're fluent in Arabic now. And, you know, it comes for them much, much easier than others. I mean, now, if I would move to an Arabic country after 3 months, they will be talking Arabic. Because in their brain, in the back of their head, the language is there, the basic is there, and this is the most important thing. So if I would decide tomorrow I'm moving to Egypt or wherever, you know, it won't take them long, unlike others, to learn the language, because they are already familiar with the language. And this is the biggest advantage we have to others, yeah. So it's really, despite all this, it's really important to speak to them still in your language and try, even if they don't speak it, but still keep on and carry on and don't give up.
Brilliant. And Fadia, before I let you go, I'd love to know, I mean, what if you were listening to if you were talking to parents now who have young children and they're considering how to manage the situation, what would you say is the best possible way to approach bringing your children up bilingually or trilingually?
Stick to one language, one person, one language. So if you are from Romania, stick to Romanian language. If you are from Syria, stick to Arabic language. You know what I mean? Don't involve other languages. Even if you are with your friends, you are out and about, and everyone around you speak English, please don't speak English to your son or to your daughter. Just keep to your language and just say, I'm really sorry to the others. I'm not talking about you. I'm not telling them any bad stuff about whatever. I'm just trying to get my son or my daughter to learn my language. And I think everyone should understand that today, unlike, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. You'd like to think that it's probably a lot more common nowadays to bring children.
Yeah, I think nowadays it's more common than 10, 15 years ago. Yes, definitely. Because the people are more understandable, because we do have more foreign around us. We are more mixed now. We are more cosmopolitan now. You know what I mean? And I think now we have playgroups in different languages, like a German playgroup or whatever. And so I think you should really keep a little bit of your environment into your language and keep to it and don't be shy about it, you know, in front of others.
Brilliant, Fadia. And before we go, I mean, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about what you do and what you're doing here in St. Albans, because I know you've done interviews on other radio shows on Mix 92.6. And tell us what you do for a living.
All right. Okay. So first of all, I'm a full-time mommy. Secondly, I started my business around 2-3 years ago, which is a food catering business for Lebanese food. So what I do is I cater for events. If you have a family coming along and you like to have a big meal for your family, you can contact me. I do cookery classes at Oakland College. I do private cookery classes and cookery workshops as well, from my home, from your home. So everything around food, you can contact me for that. Yeah, so I do everything around food at the moment. I've been volunteering as well with the St. Albans Pantry and been the kitchen lead for them. So I do most of the cooking for the community pantry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do mainly at the moment. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot. You've got your hands full. And I can imagine everybody who's listening to this is just thinking, oh, Lebanese food. Everybody loves a little bit of Lebanese food, right?
I mean, I don't do only Lebanese food. My business is all about Lebanese food because it's the more trendy one. For myself, I do lots of different, you know, I do like kombucha, kimchi, like, you know, different Korean stuff. I do German food because I grew up, obviously, in Germany. I have now Swiss friends coming along, so I will be doing Swiss food at the moment for this week. So I do lots, plenty of different cuisines as well.
Fantastic. So if anybody wants to keep an eye on what you're up to cooking-wise, how can they find you, Fadia?
Just search for Fadia's Food Adventure. I am on all social platforms. On Google Map, even, you can put Fadia's Food Adventure. It will pop up. Yeah, you can contact me for anything food-related. You like to have any tip or whatever, you know, all tips are free of charge. Yeah, you can come for a taster session, book yourself. You can, yeah, exactly. Fadia's Food Adventure.
Brilliant. At Fadia's Food Adventure.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
So if you put Fadia's Food Adventure in your Google search, I will pop up on each media platform and on Google Map as well.
You might find you're getting questions about languages now as well as food, Fadia, after this interview.
Yes. So I at the moment I'm having loss and loss as well, you know, like this language is going along in the background. I taught a little bit of German because obviously, you know, previously I did work at a primary school and I was helping kids coming newly to the country to settle down. So I was helping them with their first language, settling down at school, doing the communication between their parents and the school as well. And some parents approached me to teach them, their kids German as well. So I did this for a little while. I do translation course as well. And yeah, so I did lots of translation, but only volunteering, not for earning money. Also, I volunteered for translating and interpreting as well. Yeah, so I did lots of things with language before I did food.
Brilliant. Fantastic. You're a very busy mom.
I am. Yes, Bridget. I need to run everything around here and my business, my kids, everything. Yeah, but you know, it's fun.
Fantastic.
It's fun. I like it. Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Brilliant. Fadi, it's so lovely to talk to you. And thanks for all your wise tips for parents out there bringing up children.
Pleasure, anytime.
Have a lovely evening.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Our thanks to Fadia and Lydia there. Don't forget that you can brush up on your French right here on Mix 92.6 by listening to our French language show, Bouche à Oreille, on Sundays at 7 p.m. Join Aline and Elise for news, interviews, music and culture, all in French.